I know we have some tired folks in the house today. Some of you worked at the game yesterday, and because of all the delays, didn't get home till pretty late last night. So if you see somebody nodding off, just give them a little poke in the shoulder. Wake up. Okay? Okay, you're all a little nervous, don't know how to respond to that. As well, a lot of people are out of town this weekend, I think taking kind of a last-minute vacation before the weather turns, but it's always good to be together in the Lord's house. Yeah. There's a little boy that prayed, "Dear God, please take care of my daddy and my mommy and my sister and my brother and my doggy and me. And oh, please take care of yourself, God. If anything happens to you, we're in big mess." Just a short series started last week talking about making the most of church. Last week we talked about how we need to look ahead, come to church expecting to hear from God. And how many took that to heart and you came kind of already in the groove? Okay, some more of you need to get on board with that. That will make a difference, I'm telling you. Okay? Then we look up, we come to church to exalt Christ wholeheartedly. We look around because we can encourage each other. And then we need to look out because when we go from church, we need to employ what we received. We don't want to just come and sit and hear something and then be done. But we want to apply it to our lives and take it from there. And in fact, making the most of church is really not about getting, but it's about giving. We were never meant to just be attenders who show up for an hour or so on Sunday and sing some songs, listen to a sermon, and then just head out to lunch. That's not really the purpose. We were made for God's good pleasure and for a relationship with Him and with others. And it's in giving that we experience God the most. It's when you kind of reach out to somebody else that you really hear God. That's when it happens. The Lord gives us what we need when we do that. Now today I want to look at Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25. If you have your Bibles, you could turn there. If you've got the app open, you can follow along. But would you please stand as I read these few verses? We want to honor God's word. Hebrews chapter 10, starting at verse 19. "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Amen. You may be seated. Basically, what this passage is telling us to start is that we have access to God. We do. He's not closed off, but he's opened up to us. That most holy place, that's a reference to the Old Testament tabernacle, and it was divided into three parts, and the most holy place is where the very glory of God was. And now the writer here is telling us we have access to that. It's by a new and living way. In the Old Testament, they had to bring animal sacrifices, but Jesus has become our perfect sacrifice, and we just remembered that especially in the Lord's Supper and communion. And so he has opened up this new and living way for us to come into the presence of the Lord, and he is our great high priest who is always interceding for us. Yes, we have access to God. And so I want to say to you, if you want to make the most of church, number one, press into God's presence. Press in. Verse 22 says, "Draw near to God." You know, I don't want us to just gather and sing some songs and hear a nice talk. I want us to put our hearts into it and really express our love for the Lord. I want each and every one in this room to experience a personal connection with God. That's our primary goal as we gather together, is to really encounter God. And we have access to the most holy place. So let's press into his presence. Let's not just go through the motions. We all know how to do church, right? I grew up going to church. A lot of you did as well. Most of you have been coming for a while. We kind of know how to do church. But I don't want to just do church. I want to meet with God. Matthew West sings a song. It's called The Motions. It says, I don't want to go through the motions. I don't want to go one more day without your all-consuming passion inside of me. I don't want to spend my whole life asking, what if I had given everything instead of going through the motions? I agree with that. And then the Booth Brothers, they sing a song, Why Aren't We Waiting? And the lyrics say this, too often we come with preconceived notions. We stick with our programs. We go through the motions. Everything works out just fine. We get out on time. But I wonder if it makes heaven cry when we say we love the one we deny. Do we need you enough? Do we want you enough? I don't want to just go through motions. I want to press in to the presence of God. We have access to that most holy place through Jesus Christ. And so I want to come into the presence of God and experience the presence of God. How about you? So let's genuinely go after this. And one way to do that, I believe, is just simply to be engaged and be teachable and be in the moment during the music and during the sermon. How engaged are you? How engaged can you be? Challenge yourself to sing along wholeheartedly and then take notes during the sermon. Bring your Bible and read along. Participate. Don't just spectate. Press in. And here it says, draw near with full assurance. That kind of takes me back to last week, how we come expecting. We have full assurance. God is going to be here. Scripture says so. If we come together in his name, he's there. But are you listening? Are you looking for him? Are you paying attention? Because he's here. If you want to experience his presence, he's here. You just got to tune in. Kind of like the old-time radio dials. Got to get onto the right channel. And too often we're on other channels. You know what I'm talking about. And then prepare. We talked a little bit about this last week. What if rather than just showing up, you showed up ready? Why, that's a great idea, Pastor Phil. I'm going to do that. It would make a huge difference. Instead of waiting for a couple of songs to warm you up, what if your heart was already in a position of worship? While you're getting ready at home before coming to church, how about you turn on some Christian music or some praise and worship or something, and you're already kind of getting yourself in the mode before you even get here? What a difference that would make. Here it says, that we should have our hearts, our consciences, our bodies washed. And so I say, before you arrive, confess your sins to God and ask for his forgiveness. And then pray for his presence in the house. Pray for your heart to be receptive to him. And so get the most out of church. Press into God's presence. Plan ahead. Prepare. Pray. God's here. How much of him do you want? You want some more? He's in the house. So press in. And then praise him for his promises. Verse 23 says, hold on to the hope that we profess. The hope. We have a lot to look forward to. If you're a follower of Christ, there is a whole lot more ahead for you. And it's good stuff. I mean, Jesus promised that we could have an abundant life now and then an eternal life in the kingdom of God forever. Phenomenal. So let's hold on to that hope that we profess. Praise him for the promises. And God is faithful. If he promised it, we can count on it. Let me just give you a list of promises from the Lord. Joshua 1:9, the Lord my God will be with me wherever I go. Isaiah 26:3, God will keep me in perfect peace if my mind is stayed upon him. Hebrews 13:5, the Lord will never leave me nor forsake me. Philippians 4:7, the peace of God will guard my heart and mind in Christ Jesus. John 16:3, the Holy Spirit will guide me into all truth. Mark 13:11, the Holy Spirit will give me the right words when I need them. Romans 5:2, I have access into his grace. Romans 8:28, all things work together for my good. Romans 8:35, nothing will separate me from the love of Christ. Are you getting these? By the way, if you want them, I printed off a bunch of copies. So you can just get them at the end of church. But I'm not done yet. Ephesians 2:10, God has created good works for me to walk in today. 2 Corinthians 3:17, I am being transformed into his likeness. 1 Corinthians 10:13, God won't let me be tried or tempted beyond what I can endure. Philippians 4:19, God will supply all of my needs. Ephesians 1:14, I have an inheritance. Sounds good. Ephesians 3:12, I may approach God with freedom and confidence. Colossians 1:27, Christ now is in me. 2 Timothy 1:7, God has given me a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. James 1:5, if I ask for wisdom from God, he will give it to me. James 5:16, prayer is effective. 1 John 1:9, he forgives and cleanses me as I confess my sins to him. And 1 John 3:2, when Jesus reappears, I will be made like him. Those are all promises from God. And God is faithful. He keeps his promises. Let's praise him for his promises. I say be a participant and praise him for the promises. Sometimes we tend to sit on the sidelines and squawk about secondary issues instead. It's kind of like asking which one of you kids did this. That's a natural human tendency, but we need to overcome that and refuse to be critical. I say point out the positives, not the negatives. One online blogger said it this way: I have become a consumer and critic of worship services. Shame on me. That is right on. We need to focus on the positives. In fact, I mentioned another time about this old song, accentuate the positive. Did I mention last week that jazz is kind of my style? There you go. Accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, latch onto the affirmative, and don't mess with Mr. In-Between. Don't just even be in the middle ground, but go for the positives. Somebody else mentioned some quick happiness tips that can apply in every arena of life, including church, and here's just three of them. Look for good in every situation. Develop an attitude of gratitude and laugh more. You can find happiness with just some simple little things like that. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I'm going to say it again. God is good and all the time. We have plenty to praise him for, right? He's given us tons of promises, so praise him. And when the worship begins, sing. I know it can get awkward for some of you, but you just need to get over yourself. Even if you're not a singer, there's something about lifting your voice in thanksgiving and singing that connects you to God in a special way. Praise him for the promises. And I even say, push yourself a little bit. Yes, there's a worship leader up on the stage, but you can lead yourself. Make up your mind beforehand that you are going to worship. And don't wait for your favorite song or some epic keyboard riff or the perfect lighting. Just lead yourself. Cry out to God. Praise him for the promises. And then, to make the most out of church, we need to prompt each other to please God. Verse 24, there's what it says. Consider how we may spur one another on. So I say, come to be a blessing, not just to get one. Come to be a blessing, not just to get one. Sometimes people say that they are not getting fed at church. But the greater problem is many people never learn to feed themselves or anyone else. And make it your mission to encourage and edify others. And as you do, you will find a special blessing of your own. Because that's the way God's kingdom works. When you put him first, he takes care of you. And when you put others first, you yourself get refreshed. Proverbs 11:25 says that. And we're supposed to prompt each other or spur each other on toward love and good deeds. Is your talk and your actions leading others toward love and good deeds? Remember, love is patient and kind and a whole lot more. Is that the sort of stuff that you are promoting when you interact with others? So encourage each other and promote love and good deeds. And then afterwards, reflect on the church service. Talk with others about what the Lord did in your heart. Speak a good word even before you leave the building. Talk to your family on the way home about the sermon and the work of God and things that happened during the service. And share the truth you received with others throughout the week. That's real, to me, that's basic stuff. And yet, we need to really apply it. Don't just, you know, because, oh, that was a nice service and then be done with it. No, talk about it. Think about some of the things that were said or some of the things that you experienced and just kind of keep that fresh all week long. That'll make a big difference for you. I promise you. And then it says, keep meeting together. I suggest and strongly encourage that you make a commitment to church. Don't allow yourself to just be an attender. Be a participant. Someone who's deeply involved in church. And when the going gets tough, stick it out and stand by your church family. There's a story about on a Sunday morning, a wife went in to wake her husband and tell him it was time to get ready for church. And he said, I'm not going. She said, why not? I'll give you two good reasons, he said. One, they don't like me. And two, I'm just too tired. And his wife said, I'll give you two good reasons why you should go to church. One, they do like you. And two, You're the pastor. Can I be completely honest with you? There are times when I'm tired. There are times when I don't feel the best. But church is good for me. Even when I'm out of town and I'm off duty, church is good for me. Getting together with other believers, it's a good thing. And we're supposed to keep doing that. And we should encourage each other and pray for each other. And this can even happen during our gathering of celebration. You know, one online person said, when I feel distracted, I'll pray for others in the congregation. True worship will always be marked with a sense of reaching out, moving beyond your personal experience to crying out for others. Try it. Pray for others. Encourage others. So prompt each other to please God. So I say, get out of your group of immediate friends and speak to others. Some of you have your very favorite spots. And I remember Stuart Elliott, some of you remember him. He talked about visiting a church, and he sat down, and then after a little while, an elderly lady said, you're in my seat. And he said, oh, that's okay, I don't mind. Mix it up, meet some people, especially newbies. Some newcomers, greet them, say hi, welcome. Shake hands with a person you don't normally talk to. God will use you. Prompt each other to please God. And I said last week, I'm going to say it again, our leaders know this, but everybody, this is good practice. When we dismiss at the end of church, the first 10 minutes needs to be either seeking God at the altar or reaching out to encourage others, especially newcomers. Okay? Now, I know a lot of you have in mind, oh, I need to talk to so-and-so about such-and-such before I can't. I got to do that before I go. 10 minutes is not that long. It can wait. Let's be the body of Christ before we go about doing all the business. You with me? Okay. And remember this, church is not about us. It's first and foremost about our relationship with Christ as we strive daily to become more like the Savior. And then it's about how we can love each other in all the various capacities. It's not about me. It's about the Lord and about others. Now, did you notice today that each of my main points included participation? Every one of them, I said, participate. There's an old Heinz ketchup commercial with a song that says, anticipation, it's making me wait. I think there should be a new song that says, participation, it's making things great. To make the most of church, get involved, participate. Verse 25 says, all the more as you see the day approaching. Church, I believe Jesus is coming soon. And there is a trend in today's culture to be less and less committed to church. But the Bible says we should be more and more committed as the end draws near. As things get worse in the world, we will need his presence even more, and we will need to hold on to his promises even more, and we will need to encourage each other even more. So press into God's presence, praise him for his promises, and prompt each other to please God. And you will find out you are loving church. if you take that attitude. And I know there are some in this room that they've mastered this stuff, and they'll be the ones that they love church. They've always got something good to say because they've got these things down. Take a cue. Learn how to do those things. Now, just like last week, I'm going to pray, but then I want you to take 10 minutes and either come to the altar to seek God or mingle and mix and encourage each other. You with me? All right, let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for your word. Lord, I want to thank you for the church, your body of believers, how we need each other. We come together and we encourage each other. Lord, and we want to always be pressing into your presence as we gather together. Lord, we do want to encourage each other and enjoy each other's company, but it's really mostly about getting together with you. So Lord, we will press in. We want to experience your presence. And Lord, we will remember the promises you've made, and we will praise you. Lord, give us grace to go after these things. And help us, Lord, to be a blessing to others. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, God's blessings on you. Have a great week. Mix and mingle a bit.